we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to all of our listeners during this, our September anniversary month. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Did you ever have a Sunday school teacher who told you that God is very sad when you're naughty? Today, I'd like to change that thought just a little bit and ask, is there anything that can make God happy? We're going to talk about that in a sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are fully aware that we live in a society that has lost its way. That there are many, O God, who have no understanding of your love for them in the person of Jesus Christ. So grant, O God, that if there be those who listen to this program, they may have that revelation that God in Jesus Christ loves them and wants to bring them into a personal relationship with him. And for those of us, O Lord, who have had this opportunity to walk with you and know that you are the way and the truth and the life, grant that your word may reveal to us how we can bring that message of your saving grace to a world that needs again to be introduced to Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer that we ask in your name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, This man welcomes sinners and even eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Open my eyes. In my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my
Friends in Christ, did you ever have a Sunday school teacher who said words something like this? When you boys and girls are naughty, God is very sad. I had a delightful lady who was so sincere in her faith, but there were many times during the course of the year that she reminded us how sad God really was when we did not do His will. She was right, and I think of that real often today. In no way do I criticize this fine person who gave every effort to tell us the story of Jesus. But today I would like to ask the question, is there anything that can make God happy? And the reason that I ask that question is because in the last verse of our text today, we read, "I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need repentance." So the answer is rather obvious. When a person turns to Jesus Christ and becomes a part of God's kingdom, there is joy in heaven, and our Lord Jesus Christ, together with the Father, is extremely happy. Our Lord wanted to emphasize that point, and so he told another of his marvelous parables. It just so happened that it was a parable of the shepherd who had the responsibility of caring for his sheep. Now, the people to whom our Lord was talking knew very well, far better than we today, what the responsibilities were of the shepherd. They knew that some of the finest pasture land was in the mountains, or the hills as we would see it today, on the plateaus where there was rich grass and where the sheep could be well fed. However, there were times when those sheep would walk away, and pretty soon the shepherd would get the count. One is gone. He knew immediately where the sheep was. He had walked off the cliff, and so he would go examining the cliff, and eventually he would find the sheep hanging on the side of the mountain for dear life. Then it was the responsibility of the shepherd to risk his own life, for he had to climb down that cliff and finally catch that little sheep and put him on his shoulder and bring him back to safety. That's the picture of the shepherd, and we have to keep that in mind. Our Lord Jesus, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, reminds us that he has taken the title of being our shepherd. There he writes, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for those sheep." In other words, our Lord wanted it to be very, very clear that his relationship with a fallen world that had drifted away and, symbolically speaking, was hanging on, that was his responsibility to go to them and to let them know that there was a better way, that God loved them and wants to bring them into a living relationship with God. God's word tells us so very, very clearly that those who are outside of Jesus Christ are lost. When Jesus saw the crowd, he says in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 36, he had compassion on them because they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I would like to ask you, my friend, isn't that a picture of our world? We humans are confronted with all kinds of problems as our society grows more complex all the time. As it grows smaller and we are brought closer and closer together with all of our traditions, with all of our understandings of life. And each one certainly has to have his opportunity, and we understand that. But there can be mass confusion. And the only thing that we have to try to solve some of these problems that are around us are our vacillating emotions and our limited intellects. It is not adequate for the deals that are before us on a daily basis. So now let's go back and take a look at what our Lord Jesus was really talking about. Who are these lost? Now today you have the lost sheep. If you read further into this particular chapter of God's word, you would find a parable on the lost coin. And a little bit further on, that very familiar portion, the lost son, the prodigal son. God emphasizes again and again that those who are outside of a living relationship with him are lost. Now, obviously, when we think of that more traditionally in the church, we think of those who live while they're here on this earth apart from God. And when they die, they enter into eternity separated from God forever and ever. I'd like to go just a little bit deeper today. Charles Colson has written a book entitled, How Now Shall We Live? May I refresh your memory that Charles Colson was highly connected with the Watergate and spent time in prison because of the crime that he committed in connection with that fiasco in our government. After he got out, before he went to prison, in fact, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. His life was changed. And since coming out, he has been the head of prison fellowship as he has walked and lived with people in prison, seeking to introduce them to the Lord Jesus. Now, in his book, Mr. Colson tries to present us with the reality of life, that we do live in a culture that has lost its way. Let me try to summarize as best I can just a very small portion of one chapter of this book. Writes Mr. Colson, across this country, a generation of college graduates have marched off, degrees in their hand, and a post-modernist ideology in their heart. Now, what is a postmodernist ideology? It is that teaching that there is no one truth. Rather, the individual must create his own truth. So what is truth for one is not truth for the other necessarily. These people who live with this idea that there are all kinds of truths are people who work with words and ideas. They are people who have gone into the executive suites, the political centers, the editorial rooms of newspapers, magazines, and television studios, and they have gone to the colleges and universities and theological seminaries to make this teaching known. The teaching, once again, is there is no one truth. In other words, when Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth," not a truth, but the truth, postmodernists would say, "Oh no, that can never happen." Because they are in positions of influencing millions of people, these postmodernists, on a daily basis, have the opportunity to say to us again and again, get away from this worn-out old idea that there is one objective truth. That viewpoint is taught in the media and institutions of higher learning right along. It's been there with us since the 1960s, and now it has left the academic area and has moved into the mainstream of American life. Once we could say, well, it's too bad it's here at all, but it is only found in really academia, among those who are the intellects. They think they understand what they are teaching, and as long as they're having fun with it, it's too bad, but it isn't going to get very far into our society. In other words, we thought it would do no harm because these writings were so academically sophisticated that few of us could really understand what they were saying. But it is not so anymore. These truths are being communicated to us in very simple language every single day. We have become a confused society, not quite sure what truth is really all about. You see, when Jesus Christ is the truth, and you take him out of your life, you are lost, both for now and for all eternity. What shall our relationship then be as we live as Christians in a society, a culture, where there are so many who are lost? I imagine the easiest thing for us to do is to take the Pharisaical approach and say, well, we will live by ourselves. You see, that's what they were doing in the text that is ours today. They did not want to deal with these Pharisees, sinners, those with whom Jesus was in contact all the time. Let them go. Jesus' approach was no. No, we have to go to them with a very clear message of God's word. And that message is so clear, and we need to be strong in it, that because we have fallen into sin, we are sinful people in and of ourselves, out of a relationship with God. But God did not want it that way. And here you see his love. And this is the gospel, that God sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us at the cross, paid the price for our sins, and is the only way of salvation. Therefore, the appeal comes, receive Jesus Christ, and you will be in a living relationship with God. Then you begin to understand what he means when he says, my word is truth. And so we live in the word of God. And it is the scriptures that guide us and lead us and direct us as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to realize that we're not left out there all alone wondering what truth is all about, but rather we are there to proclaim this message to our loved ones, whoever they may be. Now, Mr. Colson in his book also says it's going to be interesting when you begin to talk to people about the only way of salvation, the only truth that there is, that being Jesus Christ. Your response will be something like he got at one of the leading universities when he spoke to the law students there. He thought maybe he would have a great argument when his speech was done. There was none. The students listened very politely. They perhaps said to him afterwards, if they said anything at all, "We're very interested in your views. They are very similar to the views that my grandfather and grandmother had, but they do not communicate to us today." And some might even be so brave as to say, isn't it wonderful that we live in a society that has become so broad that each one can have his own truth and go about his own business? That's the philosophy of the day. Now then, if one believes that and you're in that lost condition, then it's pretty hard to tell the story of Jesus. And so we have the temptation of becoming discouraged and we back away. And we say, well, maybe the Pharisees were right. Just let us live in our own little parochial setting. But Jesus says again and again, no, go. Go with the message of God's word. And with you goes the Holy Spirit working through that word. And it is the Holy Spirit that can change the hardest of hearts. So he says to the church, hold up the truth. And he says to the colleges of the church, let it not only be a great academic education, but a Christ-centered one too. And he says to families, teach your children and support each other in these divine truths, lest you too fall away. So what makes God happy? When he sees Christ's church about the Heavenly Father's business, he is happy. Because he knows when that word is being proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is at work. And sinners will be turned from their perilous ways to trusting in Jesus Christ. Yeah, the Sunday school teacher made it clear what made God sad. But today the Word of God tells us what makes him happy. And that is when a person turns to Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. Amen.
It takes all wounded spirit.
Father in heaven, we pray that your truth may finally be revealed to our society. And grant, O God, that your church may not sit back in a parochial way and let things go on without any effort on our parts. May we be zealous in season and out of season in pointing men and women to Jesus Christ, who once said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. On September 6, 1936, Christian Crusaders teamed with WMT Radio to broadcast its first program live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. In 1943, station WNAX in Yankton, South Dakota was added to our radio network. In 1961, station KWMT in Fort Dodge joined our radio family. Thanks to our generous listeners, today we broadcast on 30 stations in 11 states across the nation. Christian Crusaders is financed by gifts from our listening audience. We thank each of you for your donations and your prayers. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.